All right, so how did you come to write this play? What was the inspiration for it?
The first one is called A Latina Prepares, which I took off from the Stanislavski, an actor, Prepares. And I wrote that piece quite a while ago. It was first featured in the 2004 Downtown Urban Theater Festival. And it won for best short in the festival, I might add. But it's a piece about a Latina actress auditioning for what she considers to be a demeaning or a stereotypical kind of role. And my main reason for writing that piece was because I had been an actor, not a writer at all, for about 12 years in New York. And I knew that after about 12 years of pounding the pavement, speaking for myself, I needed a change, and I needed some sort of transition in my life and in my career. And I knew that I wanted to continue being a professional theater artist. I wanted to continue being in the theater, but acting just wasn't cutting it any longer. I needed more, or I felt that I needed more. So it was around that time that I decided to go back to grad school and get my degree in dramaturgy at Brooklyn College. But I felt that I needed some sort of closure on the acting and the acting experience and what I had been through. It was important for me as a person, and also as an artist and an individual. So I wrote A Latina Prepares, and I just wanted to have fun with the idea of being in an audition where you're auditioning for something that, you know, you would consider to be rather stereotypical, and you force the auditioners to see how you can do more than just, you know, play crackhead's mother or cracko or a drug dealer or some sort of character like that, that you're actually capable of doing other things, and try to make it less of a revenge piece, but more like a very humorous revenge kind of a piece. And Don't Knock It Till You Try It was something that was commissioned a few years ago for another showcase. That's the second monologue that I'm doing. And that deals with a woman who's a college professor in her 40s. She's married to someone who's very controlling, and who is especially controlling in the bedroom, very, very controlling of her and their sex life together, to the point where he pretty much demands that, you know, that they're going to have a threesome. And she's a very conservative person. She's not comfortable with this, but finally she gives into it and ends up falling in love with the woman that he chooses. So it's supposed to be played for laughs, but at the same time, I'm also trying to say something about there are a lot of preconceived notions about Latinas and Latina sexuality, and that, you know, we're all Penelope Cruz and Salma Hayek, and we're all hot, and it's all about sex for us. And, you know, we're women just like every other woman, and we have the same kinds of feelings and ideas about sex and love and romance and sexuality. And we're not just these sort of hot-blooded creatures. And that was a huge part of the reason as to why I wanted to write this, that, you know, I wanted to kind of eradicate a little bit of the preconceived notions and ideas about Latinas and Latina sexuality and the way Latinas view themselves as individuals and as women. So those are the two pieces, kind of in a nutshell, you know.
So how do you want people to be affected by these works? Obviously, like, you're going for laughs, but, I mean, you have some serious themes here as well.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I just love the idea of sort of taking these notions and concepts that people have and just sort of twisting them around so that people are sort of, you know, seeing that and they're going, oh, okay, great. Well, I had a feeling that it wasn't, you know, what the media tells us, what stereotypes have been telling us for years. But I also want them to be able to see a sense of themselves in it too. I mean, with the Latina Prepares, with the part about the monologue about the actress, well, we've all had a dream deferred. We've all been in a situation where, you know, we really went after something. We had those kind of goals, these very pure, idealistic inspirational goals that didn't quite work out, only because, you know, we live in the real world where sometimes what we want, we don't get. And I think they can relate to that. And with Don't Knock It Till You Try It, with the one about the threesome and the controlling husband, it's pretty much along those same lines. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the picture that my husband did of me, and my husband is nothing like the husband I talk about in that second monologue, by the way. I want to make that very clear. He's lovely and wonderful and extremely supportive. But in the picture that he did of me, the photograph that he took, I have a piece of tape over my mouth. And the reasons why we wanted to do that, other than the fact that it looks kind of cool and theatrical and dramatic, was because both these characters, they're kind of not being allowed to be who they are. Their voices are cut off. And in these pieces, they sort of, you know, metaphorically rip the tape off, and they finally voice, they take a stand for themselves as individuals, and they finally are give themselves the opportunity to have their voices heard. So that's kind of good. And I think everyone can relate to something like that and still enjoy themselves in the process, you know?
Mm-hmm. So as far as being involved in the Solo Nova Festival, what does that mean to you?
Oh, it's awesome. It's awesome. It's wonderful. I love, well, first of all, I really have enormous regard for Terra Nova Collective to begin with. And I've known Jennifer Connelly Darling, James Carter, a couple of other people for some time. A very good friend of mine was part of their Groundbreakers, was one of their playwrights. His name is Andrew Kramer. He's with the Emerging Writers group right now at the Public Theater. And he and I are very close. And I think I may have written him a letter of recommendation. Yeah, I wrote him a letter of recommendation to get into that at Terra Nova. And so it's exciting for me. It's very exciting. But what I also think is really cool, too, is that there are two Latina performer writers in this festival. And that's really rare. You don't have the chance to see that very often. A lot of times with a lot of well-known, high-profile festivals, usually you'll have, like, an African-American, an Asian, a Latino or Latino, and then, you know, the other slots will be, you know, white writers and performers. And the whole festival is just this wonderful multicultural, across the board, multicultural mix, you know, and it's mm-hmm. I just think it's wonderful that, and I also think it's very courageous and brave of Terra Nova to have something like that. And when I found out about Dassel, whom I know, she's doing, her piece is called We'll Work For, I immediately got in contact with her to congratulate her, and I just said, this is so rare and fantastic. This is really cool. So, yeah, it means a lot to me. I'm very excited.